Thank you, choir, for not only the message, but the way you have delivered the song. It has that soothing effect. I almost fell asleep. But at this point, we cannot afford to do that. I'd like to ask our media team to please turn the middle light. Let there be light. I would like to see who's listening or not. No, I won't do that. You know, this is our second week for 2017. It is good to see all of you. Some of you just came from your holidays, whether it is from the Philippines or in the States and some other part of the world. It is good to see you back. I hope you are renewed, you are refreshed, and ready to go for 2017. Yeah? Parang totoo ah. And also thank you for those who have joined us, not for the first time. I know they came not for the first time, but it's good to see you. I hope that the Lord will bless you in our gathering today. And for all of us, we come back to our text, Ephesians chapter 6. And as we go there, remember what we had started on last week in Philippians 3. We should have the freedom from the things that are behind now, which is 2016. And we should have one goal, central goal, and that is to be, first and foremost, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the same time, we as a church, we should pursue the things that are close to our Lord's heart, and that is to become more effective for 2017. And in order for us to do that, one of the most important, if not the most, is prayer. Is prayer. And that is our text today. That is the context of our consideration today, which is taken from verse 18 to 20 of chapter 6. It is common knowledge that the verses, the seven verses prior to that, it speaks about the spiritual warfare. That we are battling with this warfare that is headed by none other than the devil, who is a vicious fighter. A terrible fighter. Sometimes a smart fighter. And if we are not careful, we could easily lose. But the irony is that although he may be vicious and have the capacity to make and bring along so many schemes, he is a defeated foe. Isn't that wonderful? We have an enemy who is a defeated enemy. But we must understand that although he's a defeated foe, the fight is not over. And in order for us to fight, our text tells us that we are to pray and not just to pray alone. We must pray in the Spirit. Now that is a capital S. That is with and through the Holy Spirit. And in relation to that, the intent of our consideration today is for you and for me to increase not only our knowledge about prayer. None of us knows everything. There is always something for us that we don't know about. One of which is about prayer. We know a lot of things about prayer. But the most important thing is that we should engage ourselves more into prayer. And that is the intent. This is the things that the Lord wants all of us to submit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for bringing to our attention as we face the year 2017. In order for us to be victorious, in order for us to be faithful and fruitful, we need to bow our knees. We need to have that prayerful attitude. Not for the sake that we could be able to bring to you our prayers. But our desire, Father, is that you will help us to have the conviction to pray in the Spirit. Please help all of us the willingness and the desire to be transformed by your word, that through Christ we'll be a different person, none other than our Savior. In His name, amen and amen. On verse 18, as you open our text, it begins with praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit, what that does mean? What does it refer to? If we pay closely to the book of Ephesians, the teachings about the ministry and the person of the Holy Spirit is often given in many occasions. For examples, in chapter 1, and this is the prerequisite, in order for you and for me to pray in the Spirit, verses 13 to 14 is the prerequisite. It says that those who have placed their trust in Christ is sealed by the Holy Spirit. In order for us to be able to pray in the Spirit, we need the Spirit in us. And that's what it's saying on the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. Now, on the fourth chapter in Ephesians, on verse 30, it tells us that when we commit sin or sins, it affects our fellowship with God. It affects our prayer with God. It interrupts. It is a hindrance in our prayer. The communication is affected. That's why when we do that, it grieves the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is grieving, how can we pray in the Spirit? When we move along about on chapter 5, well, we'll see that you and I are supposed to be filled with the Spirit. And that is for us to allow the Spirit to work freely in our lives. For you and me to fully surrender our lives to Him. I know it is easier said than done. But that is the teachings in the book of Ephesians. In order for us to pray in the Spirit must influence you and me. He must be freely moving along on the things that are close to God, helping us to have that conviction through the aid of the Holy Spirit. So we see in these passages of Scripture from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 6, it tells us that our prayer should be led and should be guided through the power of the Holy Spirit who is in us. Other than that, it is not the way God is expecting from us. It says, it begins with these two words, pray always. Now, how do we do that? When we are at work, we cannot pray, but you can work prayerfully. Isn't it true? You can work prayerfully. You're not praying. You're not babbling. Because if you do that, you would look oddball. People will say bad things about you. Look at this guy. There's a problem with this guy. But you could work prayerfully. You can take the bus coming to your work, coming to your school, coming to the church prayerfully. We are supposed to pray always. Isn't it true that in the first, in 1 Thessalonians, it tells us that we are to pray without stoppage. No, without ceasing. That is the case. It can be done. We need to have that habitual attitude of prayer. You know what the problem, the reason why we never get there? The problem is we have the attitude. As they were saying, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. When the heart is not there, when the heart is not open, it's not gonna happen. There is so much hindrances. Praying always becomes hard when there are temptations around, and we let it win. So therefore, there is a problem when we do that. You know, in the last 3 weeks, you and I had faced or have faced great temptations. Although it is exciting, one of the things that most of us enjoy is going to the shopping mall. But temptation can face in many ways at the shopping mall. You know, there's nothing wrong in being generous. You like to give. There's nothing wrong. In fact, the Bible tells us it is better to give than to receive. But be led by the Spirit when you give. You know, if your debit card says decline, we know the tank is empty. Don't pick up the other one. You know, Visa is good in traveling, but Visa becomes a great temptation in Christmas time. So be very careful. Let the Spirit lead you when you use all of those things, because they are the temptations that we deal with, and they could be hindrance in our prayers. Now, on the other hand, when good things are happening, it could also be very careful when blessings comes your way. Because when everything seems to go well, there's the tendency not to be too close to God sometimes. Isn't it true? When things are going well, you can be so self-centered. And you would forget the person who gives us the blessing. Be very, very careful. That's why we are to keep praying always. It is important. Now, let's look at the middle part of verse 18. It says, pray all kinds of prayer. Can you turn your Bibles to Philippians 4? Philippians 4. Something that you are very familiar. Perhaps most of you have memorized this. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, petition, thanksgiving, present your request to God. On this verse alone, it tells us that there are many kinds of prayer. There is the thanksgiving. There is just presenting your request. There is a petition. There is supplication. There is also what we call private prayer. There is public prayer. There is spontaneous prayer. There is a deliberate prayer. There is a short prayer. There is a long prayer. There is an all-day prayer. Some people are standing, some people are sitting, some people are kneeling down, some people are squat. So that, you know, if you are lying down praying, you know what will happen. Especially when you're praying just before you go to bed. One of the prayer position in the Bible, which it's kind of odd, but it was very effective. Remember the prayer of Elijah? He was bending down. He put his face between his legs. There are many ways to pray, but the important is that whichever that it is, whatever availability is there for you and for me, the exhortation for us is to pray. We need to use all of these venues and positions because there is this spiritual warfare that is happening. And the battle is tough. It is extremely tough. It is not a joke. It is not something that you and I couldn't care less or should not take seriously. That's why we lose, because we sometimes would ignore or pretend that the devil is not ferocious. It's not vicious. The devil is not easy quitter. That is the reality. You know, he attacks when it is least expected. Especially when you are weak. When you are vulnerable. You could be an easy prey. You know, the Bible tells us that one of our important weapons in the artillery of God. It is praying in the Spirit, praying always, and praying with all kinds of prayer. And not only that, on the second part of verse 18, it says that being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It tells us, be watchful, being on the alert mode, at if it is a war. It is a war. It is a war. We need to be vigilant. We need to be alert at all times. You know, being watchful in prayer, it is another way of saying watch and pray. And there are many occasions in the Bible where it says watch and pray in order for us to win. Take a look at, for example, please turn your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah chapter 4. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. When Nehemiah and the people of God were repairing the walls of Jerusalem, the enemy were trying to stop the work. They were able to defeat the enemy and watch and pray. It says, verse 6-9, so we built the wall and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height. For the people had a mind to work. Now it happened, when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. But praise God, on verse 9, it reads, nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a what? A watch against them day and night. So they watched and prayed day and night, and they won the fight. Which this principle reminds us the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel books. Remember the story when the night before the crucifixion, when Jesus Christ went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and that is the hardest form and type of prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ had uttered. And after he had prayed, he came back to the best three of his disciples, Peter, John, and James. And when he came back, what did he saw? He saw three guys not watching, not praying, they were sleeping. They were sleeping. He was so grieved. He says, can't you just at least pray with me for an hour? That's what he says on Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. You weren't able to stay with me and pray with me for an hour. What happens to the sweet hour of prayer? It's gone. Now, in other times, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 21, he was trying to assure them about his coming again. And what he was trying to say is this, in order for you to be ready when I come again, in order for me to be happy when I come again, one of the important things that you need to do is to watch and pray. That's what he says in Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Watch and pray. He says, be always on the watch. Be always be prayerful because my coming is at any point in time. When we take our eyes away from the Lord Jesus Christ, we go into trouble. And that is the same message as last week. Forgetting what is behind, but we move toward the goal. And what is the goal? The central focus of our goal is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Watch and pray. We can only remain faithful and fruitful when we watch and pray and devoted to prayer. In order to keep watch, you need to have good endurance and stay away from any possible distractions. Now, on verse 18 and 19, it also tells us the challenge and the encouragement to pray for all of the saints. We are to pray for each other and for one another. And the second request is for Apostle Paul. He says, and as for me, brethren, that's coming from the Ephesian church, pray for me that I may be able to boldly share the mystery of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his request. So in here we see at least two things. We see the difference between a prayer and supplication. You see, prayer is a generic. It's a generic form of prayer. Apostle Paul says, pray for the saints. That is generic. But when he says, pray for me so that I may be able to share the gospel boldly, that I may be effective to share the gospel to these people, that is specific. That is a form of supplication. And prayer always play a big role in the kingdom agenda, whether it is for evangelism, whether it is for fellowshipping, whether it's for worship, whether it's for Christian service, whether it's for mission. For anything that you and I do that is part of the kingdom agenda, prayer must be there. And a lot of people would have the tendency to forget the truth that prayer is the greatest privilege on the planet Earth. Although it is offered to everyone, but only to those who have Christ in their lives, those who have accepted Christ, the Christ who have said that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. Unless you have Christ, you don't have this wonderful privilege. But the problem is that those people who have Christ in their lives do not use properly the privilege that they have in Christ. And that is the problem. It is not a problem today, it is also a problem then. A lot of people would say that prayer is an awesome opportunity for us to prepare someone for service. Well, that is true. That is very true. If we want someone, that's why we have the commissioning. If we want someone to go for service of the Lord, we pray for that person. But we forget the other side of the coin, that prayer itself is a service. It is a Christian service. It is a wonderful Christian service. How many times people would have really given a great booster? A lot of times people would come to you and come to me and they would say, you know what? You know, I have so much time. There was this 3 senior citizens that have approached me not too long ago. And they have said, I have so much time. But you know what the Lord blessed me with? There is hardly any day that I did not pray for you. Because prayer is a Christian service and it's a wonderful Christian service. But the sad news is that not too many people see that wonderful service that is so free. There was a time in the Old Testament when God got really mad. He got really mad. Please open your Bibles to Isaiah 59. There were at least 2 things that he didn't like. On the second part of verse 15, it says, the Lord looked down and was displeased because there was no justice. There was injustice. That was the one. But the other one is this. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled, actually, that there was no one to. There was no intercessor. There was no one who was praying. I'm glad that it is not happening today. But at the same time, we cannot say we are glad because although there are people who are praying, but not a good number of people are praying. What are the challenges? What keeps, you may want to ask, what keeps people from praying? Maybe it is indifference. You just don't like to pray because you couldn't care less. I don't care. You guys can pray together. I'm going home. Not today. Maybe it is time. Maybe it is your family. Maybe it is your work. Maybe you're occupied with a lot of things. Maybe it's relationship. What's keeping you? You know, if I'm talking to someone who is a new believer in the Lord, meaning less than 1 year old as a Christian, then it is probably ignorant. You are not yet well-versed concerning the importance of prayer. But if I'm looking at people who had been a believer for 5 years and more, then I do not think it is ignorance anymore. Maybe the problem really is you and me. It could also be impotence. You know, when you are physically weak and sometimes, you know, when you are really sick and you are really, really tired, it is hard to pray. But it doesn't tell us not to pray. Even for 1 minute prayer, we can do. Let me give you an example. This is a generic, and this is something that's being done by many, many churches worldwide. And one of the examples are the prayer rallies. The prayer rally for most churches is only done once a month. So only 12 times a year. Only 12 times a year. As we all know it, the approach is not, it cannot be done in compulsion. I cannot order you to attend the prayer meeting. It has to do between you and the Lord and your conviction about the prayer. But at the same time, you must understand also, maybe you have forgotten that at one point in time, when you had your interview, before you became a member of this church, there is also that thing, the lessons that you have gone through. It says that, you know, the importance of prayer and the necessity to support and to pray together as a church. It is there. There is what we call the privileges and responsibility as a member of any local church. So my encouragement for all of us as a member of this local church, let me begin inviting those who have never attended. Perhaps you have never attended. Well, come and see. Perhaps this afternoon, we have one at 2:30. Come and see and experience what prayer rally is. But it is for us to feast on. And may I address especially those who are members of the cell groups. If you are a member of cell groups, especially if you are a leader of the cell group, if you are serving God, if you are part of any ministries in the church or any fellowships of the church, whether it is young people, the stepping stone, the best chairs, if you are part of the Christian Ed or the nursery, any ministries of the church, my encouragement for you is this. I am not saying that everybody come. That I did not say. You didn't hear me say that. But I think it is nice to see that representatives from your end will be supporting. Don't you think? I don't want really to ask you that because I don't want to put you on the spot. I don't even want to say amen with me because I, like I said, it cannot be in compulsion or it cannot be forced at you. But I highly recommend. So by me saying that, together with the leaders of the church, the board of directors of the church, then you put the pastors of the church, I would say that at least 80 people should be in this place this afternoon. I really hope so. I was also hoping, and this is my prayer, and this is the vision of our church. This is the vision of our church. One of the visions of the church is this, to increase in prayer. One is the prayer rally to reach at least 80. Now, on the prayer meeting, for those of you who may not be aware, the numbers who are gathering on Wednesdays, it is from 30 to 40 every week. 30 to 40, but the average is about 35. When there's a snowstorm, then obviously it's less. But in summertime, it could go as much as 60. But our vision is this, that by the end of this year, there would be at least 50 as an average. You know, it is not really hard to happen. But in order for it to happen, it would require you and me to happen. It cannot be just, okay, on my left, on my right side. No, we can't do that. We have to have the conviction, each and every one of us. And it didn't say, you know, if you could go there every week, so much the better. But the important thing is this. We need to be together on this one. If we really want to go forward this year, 2017, I tell you, we become a better church by the end of 2017 if we will be prayerful as a church. Not as a liturgical, not as a form of just a plain prayer meeting. No. We're doing it because we love the Lord. And we know that when we do that, the Lord will be happy. And when He is happy, what happens? There is growth in the church. We always want our church to be this. We always want our church to be that. But it would require you and me to go there and to be that. I'd like to leave with you with a promise. And this promise is not a license for us not to pray accordingly. But this is a promise for us to be strong or stronger in our prayer. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, it tells us that the Spirit in general helps us in our weaknesses. And when, of which is when we have problem in prayer, He would help us and intercedes for us. He makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. That's what it says. That's the end of verse 27. And not only that, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that we have a great high priest, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a high priest, He sympathized with our weaknesses. He was tempted in all sorts and yet without sin. That's why He can sympathize. He knows our situation. And the exhortation on this text is, "Let's come to Him boldly so that we may receive what? Mercy, grace, and help." That is the promise. I hope that you and I, as we move forward to this 2017, that we will come together more often, more intent, and more intense, more intentional. May God bless all of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding us the privilege of coming to you and the blessing to be able to communicate the one and true God, the God of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our prayer, Father, is that you will help us to be mindful of the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit who is in us, so that we may be able to pray in the Spirit and also in the strength of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to